Okay, we're starting here on the top of Membav and Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the machloket between Rav and Rabbi Chanina versus Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The Gemara had asked, what's the din, the gabei, toch hazman? During this period of time, this 1 year prior to coming of age, what's the status during that period of time? The Gemara clarified, the question revolves around when a child has shtei se'arot. They've reached the age of purity, but they have not yet reached the age when they should be of age. So for instance, between the age of 12 and 13 for a boy, if they have reached puberty during that time period, and for a girl between the ages of 11 and 12, if they reach puberty at that time, what's the status of those ketanim? So the middle of chalokit was, Rabbi and Rabbi Chanina say, toch hazman kelifnei hazman. We consider them to be minors. Whatever pubic hair that they see during that period of time, we assume is a shuma, is a mole. It's not something of an indication of them coming of age or maturity. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that toch hazman is kelachar hazman, that they are of age. If they reach puberty, and they're already close enough to the age where we would expect it, then they do have a classification of gedolim, of being of age. So that's the machloket that we have between them. And now, Rabbi Zeira is about to pose a question, which is on the second line of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Vod Motiv Rabbi Zeira. Zeira asked, Ish, ki afli lindor neder. Ma tamalomer ish. Why does it say ish? Rabot ben yud gimel shana biyom echad. She'afal pish in yodel afli nederav kayamim. So ish is usually a terminology that is used to indicate of age. But we've seen that before in the Masechta, Ish and Isha are only Gdolim. We had to have a Vav, a Ribuy, to include Ketanim. So again here, Ish comes to include a person of age, but it has a special or unique property, which is that individual is, even though they don't understand what they're saying, they don't understand their Neder, nevertheless it's binding because they are of age. So hey Chidami, what's the case? I labda, I loda, I tish de se'arot. If they have yet to reach the age of puberty, then katanu. There's nothing to speak about. They're still really ktanim. Elav da'iti shtei se'arot. That they reach the age of puberty. V'taima de ben yud gimel shana b'yom echad. Ho da'avale ish. That the only way that they're considered to be ish, to be of age, is if they reach puberty and they crossed over the threshold of 13 years in 1 day. Ha toch zman kelifnei zman. Prior to 13 years in 1 day, there is no consideration of them being of age. Tiyufta. That is really an undermining question on the position of Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who consider the Tochzman to be the Lachazman. Because that's the case, then it should have been from 12 years and 1 day old that the Torah classifies that individual as an ish if they've reached puberty. The fact that the threshold is 13 years and 1 day shows you that prior to that period of time, it's irrelevant.
How is that approved?
The Braita is giving interpretation to the pasuk. Ish itself does not define as yud gimel in 1 day. The Braita is saying the definition of ish is 13 in 1 day. That's a problem for the Amoraim who are saying that you could even have somebody be an ish before that period in time. That's the question. The question is not from the derivation in the pasuk. It's the fact that the Braita defines the word ish to be only from 13 years in 1 day. So Amar Rav Nachman Kitnai. It's actually a machloket tanaim. This is a cryptic, somewhat difficult braita, and then we're going to come back and try to explain it. Ben techanim shevi beit se'arot. Someone who's 9 years old, who has 2 se'arot, shuma, that's considered to be a mole. Bi ben tet v'ad yud bet shana, from 9 until 12, v'yom echad, shuma. Again, same din. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, siman. At that point in time, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda believes that it is a siman. The shtei se'arot from 9 until 12. Ben yud gimel shana v'yom echad, divrei hakol siman. Everybody agrees that from 13 years and 1 day and older, then if they have shtei se'arot, that it's clearly a siman. So the obvious problem in the Braita is that the Braita skips a year. Braita has from 9 till 12, and then it has starting at 13. What happens between 12 years and 1 day to 13 years and 1 day, that is not addressed by the Braita. And that's the Gemara's question. Agufakasha. The Braita itself is internally comprehensible because it says Amart. Ben tet vadyud bet shana v'yom echad. From 9 until 12 years in 1 day. Shuma. That is classified as a mole. Ha, yud gimel shana, gufa. The 13th year itself, siman. Sounds like that it would be fine. It would work as a siman. V'hadar tani. And then you have the last line in the Braita, which is ben yud gimel shana v'yom echad. The 13 years in 1 day, siman. Ha, you would infer from that yud gimel shana, gufa, the 13th year itself, Shuma is a mole. That 13th year, which is from 12 years in one day till 13 years in one day, the 13th year itself, we don't have a status that is determined by the Braita. So my love, Tanayi, that is a machloket Tanaim. The Mar Savar Tochzman Kilachazman. One of them holds that within that period of time, it's classified as being after that time. Umar Savar Tochzman Kilifnezman. That during that period of time, the 13th year, it's like prior to that. So we'll assume that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda believes that the 13th year is considered to be like adulthood. And that's why only when we get to 13 years in one day, we say Kuli Alma. Before that, it's only Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's position. The Chachamim believe that prior to 13 years in one day, if you see or you have pubic hairs, that's not determining in terms of being an adult. So let us say here that there's a machloket Tanaim about exactly this issue. What is the status of Shtei Se'arot during the 13th year? Where it says, well, we have many ways to explain this Braita without going down that path. And here it goes. The Gemara is going to give a numerous ways of explaining it. Kuliyama, Tochzman, Kilifnezman. All the answers are going to revolve around the fact that the 13th year is equivalent to being a minor. No matter what, during the 13th year, a minor, like Rav and Rav Chanina. Now the Gemara is going to give the answers making that assumption, which is V'idi idi v'tinoket. And both opinions here, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tanakama, are talking about a young girl. V'reisha Rabbi, V'seifa Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Reisha is within the opinion of Rabbi. Rabbi believes a girl comes of age at 12. And the Seifa, the latter part, which says everybody agrees at 13 years, is according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who thinks that girls mature later, and they only mature at 13 years in one day. The inference you made from the ratio was, only up to 12 is it a question. After 12 years in one day, there's no question. You know why? Because that's Rabbi's opinion, that a girl comes of age at 12 years in one day. That's why you can infer after that, the 13th year, of course, it is a siman. And the latter part of the Braita, which said that only from 13 years in one day and later, is the person considered to be of age, that's according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says that girls only come of age at 13 years and one day. V'baitema, another alternative, is Hava b'tinok. They're actually arguing about a male. V'reisha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar v'seifa Rabbi, and just the opposite. The ratio would be authored within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who thinks boys mature at 12 years and one day. And therefore, the inference from the ratio that at 13 years they're already considered to be of age if they have Shtei Se'arot, that's because we're talking about a boy, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who comes of age at 12 years in one day. The Seifa, and the Seifa that says that they only come of age at 13 years in one day, is according to Rabbi, who says boys only mature at 13 years and one day. There's a problem in the Braita, so this is the way they're addressing it. You're right, that there are easier ways to write it. It's all authored within the position of Rabbi. Habatinok, habatinoket. We're dealing with a male and then a female. Seifa is talking about a male where it's 13 years in one day. Where's the threshold? And the Reish is trying to make a case of a tinoket where the threshold is 12 years in one day. Pibaita, I may just say the opposite. Hava, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The whole right is authored under the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Habatinok. Ha betinoket. Ratio that says 12 years in one day is referring to a male. And the Seifa, which says it's 13 years in one day, is the threshold, is talking about a female. Gemara gives, as you said, a number of ways of trying to read this Braita without having it be a machloket tanaim with regards to that 13th year. None of them read easily into the Braita, because the Braita, as you said, seems to be a continuum. And in being a continuum, when you separate out the opinions from the first half to the second half, makes it sound like there is no machloket anymore, and then why do you have to say kuli amma? It is a difficult reading in the Braita. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer siman. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda believes that it is a siman even from 9 until 12 years in one day. Amar Rab Kuspudai, braid the Rabbi Shabtai, v'hu shodan bo. That's only if those hairs survive till they come of age. If they have the pubic hairs between 9 and 12 and then they fall out, even Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda agrees then that there's a shuma and they're not evidence of coming of age. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a braita that supports that understanding. Bet Tetshanim v'yom echad, shevi bet se'arot, shuma. That is considered to be a mole. We ben Tet, v'adyud bet shana v'yom echad, from that period 9 until 12, v'odan bo, and they are still there when they come of age, shuma. Tanakama believes there's still a mole. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer, siman. They are a siman. So you see that qualification within the Braita that they still must be there when they come of age. Can't simply be that they had these pubic hairs and then they disappear. That's strong evidence, the fact that they were not. pubic hairs, or rather a shuma. In order for them to be classified as pubic hairs that have impact, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda says they must survive until the time that they become of age, because that's an indication retroactively that they really were pubic hairs all along. So Amar Rava, Hilchata, the halacha is Tochzman Kilifnezman. The halacha is like Rab and Rabbi Chanina. Rab Shmuel Bar Zutra, Matnilo Lishmaita, the Rava Bahai Lishna. Shmuel Bar Zutra had this memory of the Rava in this way. Amar Rava, Tana, Kol Yud Bet Shana, Mime'enet, Ve'olechet. It says, Ektaner, the entire 12th year of her life, which means from 11 years in one day to 12 years in one day, is always Mime'enet. Mime'enet is the ability of a girl who's underage, a minor, to divorce. If a girl whose father passed away, she doesn't have the ability now to marry on her own because she is ektana. The only way for her to get married now is if her mother or her brother give her over the kiddushin. Now they do not have that right. The only one who has the right to do that to his daughter is the father. The father passed away. So there's no way, min haTorah, that this girl can get married. The Rambanan empowered her brother or her mother to marry her off while she is a ktana, and yet what are called kiddushin derabanan. She's only married on a rabbinic level. Rabbis, in establishing that type of marriage, also established a get derabanan, quote unquote. The ability to divorce me derabanan. Here, because she's a ktana, and the marriage is only marriage ordained by the rabbis, not a full-fledged marriage min haTorah, Chachamim said that she has the ability to be mema'enet. Mema'enet means to refuse. She can say, EFC, I don't want to be in this marriage, and she can go home. And that's it. She can get divorced by simply saying, I don't want to be there, I'm not interested in this man. It's called miyun. Now, miyun's only going to work while she's a minor. Because as long as her marriage is only rabbinic in nature, then the rabbis can establish how she can get divorced. But once she reaches of age, and she's together with her husband, that will consummate the marriage on a Torah level. Once she consummates the marriage on a Torah level, the only way for her to get divorced is to get a get, not to use miyun. So Rava says, you know where the threshold for a girl to perform miyun? The threshold for a girl to perform miyun is 12 years in one day. Well, that indicates from Rava that Rava thinks a girl's a minor until 12 years in one day. The fact that he doesn't offer the opportunity or the possibility that the girl will come of age before that shows you that he thinks the threshold is 12 years in one day without any consideration. What happens if she has shteis ha'arot? She already had pubic hair and she was older than 11 years in one day. If you thought that that meant that the girl was of age, then she wouldn't be able to perform miyun anymore. The fact that Rava makes a definitive statement that 12 years in one day is the threshold shows you that he believes before that period in time there's nothing to worry about. Okay, so that's the second half. I didn't read that intentionally because that presents a problem. From that period forward, she cannot perform miyun. That's understandable. But then, she may not perform chalitza. Chalitza is the religious ceremony in which a brother who does not want to perform yibum with his brother's wife does chalitza to release her. Chalitza can only be performed by someone of age to someone of age. So the girl has to be of age in order for the chalitza to take effect. So over here, it seems strange. Rava is saying that until 12 years in one day, she's a full-fledged ktana, and therefore she can perform miyun. From that point forward, she is of age, and therefore she can't perform miyun. Well, if she's of age, chalitza should work. Yet, he says, ve'ena choletzit, ben ha'grufo kasha, that's exactly what the Gemara says, this is internally inconsistent. Amart, ena memenet. Alma gdoli. You can infer from that she's considered to be of age. Igdoli tachlots. If she's already of age, then chalitza should be able to be performed without any problem. If you says he has a safek, now the Gemara is going to say it, that we know that he doesn't have a safek. But either way, even if he has a safek, then the problem should arise with miyun as well. So Gemara says, "Umim sfekale." Is it really a safek? V'amarovo tana sheigia lechlal shenuta. This is something that's known as the Chazaka Derava. The Chazaka Derava is that when you reach the threshold of 12 years in one day for a girl, 13 years in one day for a boy, there's a Chazaka that the individual has reached puberty. We do not check to see if they've reached puberty. There's a Chazaka Derava that they have reached puberty. So Rava says, "Ktana shigia leklal shnota." When she reaches 12 years in one day, "Eina tzricha b'dika." We don't have to check whether she's considered to be of age. She is of age. Chazaka hevia simanim. There's a chazaka that a child of that age already has reached the point of puberty. So if that's the case, it's clear that he thinks 12 years in one day, you've already crossed the threshold, and we're talking to someone of age. So if that's the case, there's no suffering here. They're definitely of age, and then the chalitza should work. Rav says, "Hani mili b'stama en ochanami." If you didn't check, the chazaka is applicable. But avalocha debadku v'lo ashkecho lo. Over here, they check. It wasn't that you have to check. So if you don't check, we assume that the chazaka stands and they've reached puberty. On the other hand, if by some chance somebody did check, or somebody knows, then we have information that undermines the chazaka. So that's what we have here. They checked, and they didn't find shtei serot. So my says, pihochi timain. Then she should be able to still perform miun. If we know for certain she hasn't reached puberty now, that she's still a ktana. She's still a ktana, that she should be still empowered to do miun. The fact that she can't indicates that we don't think that way. Where it says, Choshin Shema Nishru. We worry about the fact that maybe they fell off. Choshesh L'chumra. We say that, okay, we see now that she does not have Shtei Sarot, therefore no Chalitza, but we're not going to allow you to perform miun anymore because maybe there were Shtei Sarot and they just disappeared now, so they were there. No, because here it's after 12 years and one day. Everybody agrees that after your 12 years and one day, that it's no longer a shuma. It's anich, olamando amar choshishin, that there is such a chashash. Olamando amar ein choshishin, ma'ika l'meimar. The one who says that we're not choshish for such a scenario, then what are you going to say? Ditmar, and here's that machloket. Rav Papa amar ein choshishim shem nishru. We do not worry, we do not consider the possibility that there were pubic hairs that disappeared. If we have a child that's over that age, over the threshold age, and yet doesn't have shtei sarot, they technically, if we know for certain that's the case, they are not considered to be gdolim. Rav Papa amar choshishim. Once they've crossed over that age threshold, we are choshish that they did have pubic hairs after they came of age, and yet they disappeared. So we can't know if they're really not gedolim or not. Gemara says that machlokus revolves around ani milinyan chalitza. That's for chalitza. Whether we're choshish, not choshish, that's a problem in chalitza. And of all the inyan miyon choshishin, when it comes to miyon, everybody agrees we're choshish. Mechlal demand amar choshishin choletzet. So that means that according to the one who says choshishin, then by chalitza, we say, be choletzed, because the chashash is so real, that we say she really is of age. Va choshishim ba'almak amar. When he uses the term choshishim, it sounds like we are uncertain. Chashash means uncertainty, it doesn't mean definitive. We don't say, we're choshish, meaning that this is the problem, and therefore, you are a gdola. No, we say choshishim means we consider the possibility. And considering the possibility means that we don't think for certain that she is a gdola. So how can you make a statement that by chalitza, choshesh meaning that we think it's real, it's a real problem. By miyun, that's where we have the machloket. No. Choshin means throughout. It's a chashash. Chashash means we are uncertain. And we are uncertain from top to bottom. The Gemara says, Ela, geolam d'lo bodko. Case where there was no bedika done, so we're backtracking from that part of the solution. Oleinyan chalitza chayshinan. You're right. When it comes to chalitza, we're choshesh. Choshesh doesn't mean yes. But choshesh means that we're uncertain. Since we are uncertain, therefore, we can't allow her to perform chalitza because we don't know if she's of age. V'chikam harova chazaka, rova's chazaka, that we consider to be absolutely of age, is only the miyun. Aval the chalitza by bedika. When it comes to chalitza, she does require bedika. What's interesting here is, what would you have thought the distinction is? Miyun is a din de rabbanon. Chalitza is a din de oraita min haTorah. So you would think that Rava only said his din of chazaka by dini de rabbanon. He did not say his din of chazaka when it comes to chalitza. That would have been the easy way to explain it. Look at Rashi. Rashi does not explain it that way. Rashi says that Rava's chazaka is only basically the chumrah. By miyun, where Rava's chazaka will end up being the chumrah, which means she will no longer be able to perform miyun, that's where we apply it. By chalitza, it will turn out to be a kula, because we allow her to perform chalitza now. Over there, we do not apply it. And therefore, you'll need a bdika. It doesn't necessarily associate it with the din d'oraita and the din d'rabbanan, but simply going the chumrah in both instances. So, Amar Avdimi Meradai Yochata Choshishim Sheven Yishru. The loch is that we do worry for the, or we do consider this possibility that after they come of age, that they did have pubic hairs and they fell away. V'ani Milei, that's only true, that we're Choshesh, Heicha the Kodsha B'toch Hazman. She had kiddushin while she was still a minor, so her kiddushin were only derabanan. Ubal la'achar zman, but then she had bia after she came of age. Deika sfeika deoraita, because now we're in a safek deoraita. The safek mi deoraita is that if she has pubic hairs now, then the biot that she had now consummates the marriage, and she's married min haTorah. On the other hand, if she doesn't have pubic hairs now, she still remains a minor. And if she's a minor, the biyah has no more impact than it did prior to that time period. So there we have a chashash d'oraita. The chashash d'oraita, now we're not going to let her go with just with miyun at this point. We're going to be choshesh that maybe she did have pubic hairs and she's married min haTorah, and she needs a get. So that's why, once she reaches that age, we're choshesh for the possibility, because we're playing around in a din of eshed ish midoraita. That we're not going to fool around with. We're going to force her to get a get in that case. Aval miikara, lo. But if the marriage and the bi all took place before that age, then there's nothing to worry about, because she was never married min haTorah. Because she never consummated the marriage after coming of age. She never had bia after she came of age. So she's no more married than she was before. She's only married rabbinically. So even if she performs imiyun at this point in time, we're not going to worry about it. If she has simanim, even though she's never been nivelet when she's a gdola, the marriage was never consummated midoraita, but she has simanim. In that case, we're not going to let her perform miyun, because that could lead to a huge problem, which is that women will think that even when they're gdola, if they got married when they were ktana, they can still use miyun. That's not true. Even though in this instance, she has no marriage d'oraita, because she has yet to consummate the marriage when she is of age. Nevertheless, once she reaches the age, when she's reached puberty, we're not going to let her use miyun, even though technically it could work. It could work, because she hasn't consummated the marriage since she's a gdola. There, Rashi says, it points out, we're not going to let you use it because of the dangers of what could come out from that. Do allow it when the marriage was never consummated and she does not have simanim. That's the case where we allow it. So here you have three possibilities of what could have happened after she reaches of age. One possibility is she has no simanim and she didn't consummate the marriage. In that case, we're going to let her perform miyun because she's only married the Rabbanan and there's no obstructive force that could come out of this. In the instance where she has shtei sarot, she had bia, that's a consummation midoraita, for sure she can't use miyun anymore. The two middle cases, which is the case where she had bia after she came of age, but we have no simanim, or the case where she has simanim and she has not consummated the marriage, in both of those instances we will not let her perform miyun. By the case where she consummated the marriage after that age, but does not have shtei simanim, there were choshesh the nishru, that she had the simanim and they fell away. For choshesh, because we're dealing with a safek d'oraita. In the other case, where she has simanim and did not consummate the marriage, technically she should be allowed to use miyun. We do not allow her to use miyun because a woman in another case, where she has shtei simanim and did consummate the marriage, might think that miyun works because this woman had to use miyun when she had shtei simanim. So that's the four possibilities, the four instances. The two extremes, we say, she can't perform miyum and she can't perform miyum. The two middle instances, we're choshesh, because we're in a suffix d'oraita, we're choshesh for the possibility that she can't perform miyum, or we're gozer, we're gozer up to the possibility of someone else who had consummated their marriage. Amar Avuna. So now we're back to our Mishnah, which is this ability of an individual who is in a period of a year before they come of age to be makdish to have nidarin. So Amar Avuna, hikdish v'chal loke. An individual, a child, who is 12 years and one day for a male, 11 years and one day for a female, who is makdish something. Then they eat it, they get malkot. Shnemar. Because the pasuk says, ish ki aflilin dor, an individual who goes ahead and makes a neder, velo yachel devaro, he may not, or that individual may not, nullify, profane their statement. So the Gemara draws a connection, kosh yesh no bafla, anybody who has the ability to make a neder, yesh no bavayachel, is under the restriction of profaning their word. So if their word is binding from the age of 11 years and one day enough for a girl and 12 years and one day for a boy, if it's binding, then they are governed by Bal Yechel Devaro, that they may not profane their statement. Yeah, so Rashi points out that even though this pasuk is not the pasuk from which we learn, Afa bi b'haikra lo ktiv ki afli, even though in that pasuk the word ki afli is not there, mikom akum came into naftalan mine diodela float, since we know from that pasuk that he knows that to be mafli, then nidro neder kai b'vayachel. Therefore, he's governed b'vayachel. Daktiv, pasuk says ish ki dor neder umufla samoch leish bichlalish. The samich lei v'loyachel dvaro. Pasuk that really begins ish ki dor neder and then concludes v'yachel dvaro. And you, as you point out, Shaul, the ish, we already learned, means a gadol, not a katan. So the pasuk where lo yechel dvaro was found only has the word ish in it, which indicates somebody, only someone of age should be governed by bal yechel dvaro. Nevertheless, what the Gemara here is saying is, once we have the ribuy from the pasuk of ish ki afli nindor, which tells us ki afli means someone who knows to be mafli, from a year prior to coming of age, we've redefined the word ish now. And by redefining the word ish, right, in the subsequent psukim where it says ish ki indor neder, and then it's governed by bayachel, that ish will be defined, but what we've already established in the pasuk, which is 12 years in one day and 13 years in one day, are considered to be ish now. Because that's the definition of who can make a neder. Kemeti ravuna ber Yehuda, the suyuye the ravuna. He brings a braita, a question, that really supports this understanding of Rav Huna, which is the fi shimatzino shehishvia katuv akatan kegadol lizadon shvua uliisar ulibal yachel. It seems from the Torah that there is an equivalence drawn between a katan, meaning let's say here with a boy from 12 years in one day up until 13 years in one day, where the nidarim are nitpasim. Kigadol, like a person of age, which is for these three endings. The Zadon Shwa, if they take a Shwa Sheker, they do something that otherwise would be restricted in a Torah and Shwa. Uli Isar, Isar is to create a Neder. Uli Baal Yechel, and what seems to be here, the violation of the Neder. So these three things, a Katan has the same thing as a Gadol. So Yochel Yei Chayav Al Hekde Shou Karban, you would think maybe, when he's Makdish something, he'll be Chayav a Korban Mi'ilah. If they violate that hekdesh, tamaloma zadavar. In the parsha of Nidarim, it says zadavar, that this application of minors being able to take a neder is only unique to the parsha of Nidarim. It does not have broader application in other dinim. Ketani mihat. Okay, that's the brayta. But let's take a look at the brayta. It says liisar ulbal yachel chayav. So it says there that the katan has a din like a gadol liisar for creating Nidarim ulbal yachel and for violating, meaning for profaning those Nidarim. If that's the case, that's a support for Rav Huna. The Braita is indicating that there is a din of Bal Yechel for a Katan. Rav says, no, Ema, don't read it, Li'isar Bal Yechel, but rather Li'isur Bal Yechel. That it's an Isur Bal Yechel. You're not going to get Malkot if you violate Bal Yechel, you'll just be governed by the Isur Bal Yechel. Rav says, Isur Bal Yechel, Monafshach. The Isur Bal Yechel doesn't make sense here, because either way, Im Mufla Samoch Li'ish Deoraita, if you say the drasha muflas amachliish is a din min haTorah, milkanami lilke. If he's in violation of bayachel, he should get malkot. Vim muflas amachliish lav deoraita, it's only a din derabanan isur nami lilke. How could you have an isur deoraita that is based on a limud derabanan? It has to work either way. Either it is a din min haTorah. If it's a din min haTorah, then they're governed by bayachel and they should have malkot, not just an isur. If it's just a din derabanan, the Torah is not going to address it. And therefore, the bayachel, where do you come up with an iser for a katan? And the Torah never addressed this issue. So Gemara says, Otan hamuzharin alav. Bayachel here is for those that are responsible for him. Those that have the responsibility for him. That means that if he takes the neder, and then he's going to violate the neder, those that have responsibility from him will be in violation of an isur. They do not stop him from violating his neder. Shma minah, from that you would conclude, katan ochel nevelot, beit din mitzuvim labav da'afrisho. It's a machloket in the Gemara in a number of places, as to whether adults, beit din, as a representative of Klal Yisrael, are empowered or they are made responsible for stopping a katan from doing an aveira. So from this, it sounds like yes, that there's an isur min haTorah, abayachel, if you do not prevent a katan from violating his neder. So we could conclude from that. So Gemara doesn't want that, because then you're sticking your head into a machloket and trying to bring a conclusion. Rather, how come I spinan? What's the case here? Go shik tishu bachlo acherim. That he was makdish something, and then other people ate it. So anicho the man damer, that works well according to the one who says hik tishu bachlo acherim lokin. That works well according to that opinion. Eleman damer ain't lokin, maikel meimar. What are you going to say here? That you're trying to explain the braita that way, that only works according to one set of Amoraim, not according to the other Amora, which is Didmar Hikdish Uba Cholo Achirim. If he was Makdish something, others ate it. Rav Ganamar in Mokin, there is no Malkot here. The only one who gets Malkot is mean that he's in his own world. For him, there's a problem because he made the Neder and he will be governed by the Neder. But it's a local problem. The local problem is that powered him to take a Neder or be Makdish something. And the violation of that neder will only reference him. It won't reference others, because to others he's still a minor. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Amrei Tavayu, they both believe, Lokin, that you do get Malkot. The Gemara's final conclusion is, it's a din derabanan. Bekra asmachta bi'alma. And the pasuk is simply drosha out of the pasuk to support this din midirabanan. That according to one who says, ain lokin, that will just explain that the Brayto is talking about a Iser derabanan, and that the pasuk that they bring in the Brayto is just asmachto. So that way we won't have a problem. We could explain the case here again, Achol Mayaskina, in a case where he was Makdishin and someone ate it. Now we have a machloket about that, whether you get Malkot in that case, and the Brayto says you do get Malkot. So one opinion will say, yes, you get Malkot min Torah, because Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish will believe that, and that's what the Brayto is speaking about. On the other hand, Rav Kahana, who says there is no Malkot min Torah, will say that the Brayto is speaking about it didn't derabanan. There's Malkot derabanan, and the pasuk simply in asmachta. So that will take away the Brayto from being a proof to Rav Huna. The whole point of bringing the Brayto down was to prove Rav Huna, where it's going out of its way to read the Brayto in a manner that will not be a proof to Rav Huna's position. Kufa. So let's go back and investigate this machloket. Ikdish v'achalo acherim, Rav Kahana mar ein lukim, Yochanan Reish Lakish mar tever lukim. Kamai kemiflege. What is the argument? Mar sava muflas amuflish deoraita. The Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish believed that a muflas amuflish is a din min haTorah. Mar sava muflas amuflish is only a din derabanan. If it's a din deoraita, then you can impose it on others, and you'll get malkot when this individual takes a neder, because now the Torah recognizes that neder as being a full-fledged neder. On the other hand, if it's only a din derabanan, the Torah does not recognize that as being a full-fledged neder, and they can't give malkot to someone else for something that's only a din derabanan, or you can only give them malkot mi derabanan. Meitiv Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah queried on this. Yitumah shenadra, a yitumah that took a neder, bala meifrada. Her husband can nullify it. That's a general principle. We'll do two things here. First is that a husband has a right to nullify his wife's nidarim on the day that he hears them. He must nullify them, otherwise he's upholding them implicitly. So a husband has that right to nullify his wife's nidarim. That's number one. Number two is, we're talking about a yitomah here. Yitomah in this context always means a minor. It's a girl whose father passed away. In the Torah, a yitom and yitomah is someone who's missing a father. Even if their mother's alive, they're considered to be a yitom and yitomah min haTorah. The evidence of that is from the fact that Hashem promises that if you don't act appropriately, I'm going to make your children into yitomim and your wife into a widow. Well, if his wife's a widow and his children are yitomim, it means the wife is still alive. So in that case, they're still classified as yitom or yitomah. Her marriage is only midrabanan, as we explained before. Because without the father there, she herself can't create the kiddushin. And the brother and mother are empowered to give her kiddushin is only a din derabanan. So here she's married midrabanan. And yet we're entitling her husband to nullify her nidarim. So now you have a possibility where you have a neder, which is min haTorah, and the husband is nullifying the neder based on a Torah law, yet he's only married to her on a rabbinic level. So Rav Yirmiyah says, I don't understand. Balar Meferla. Yamart Bishlomo, if you understand Muflus Machtish Dirabonon, that a minor taking a neder is only a din derabanan, atu nisuin derabanan, then this marriage derabanan, umavatle nidra derabanan, can come and undermine a neder that's only taking hold, mi derabanan. Eliyamar deoraita, if you say that a neder of a minor even takes hold on a Torah level, atu nisuin derabanan, umavatle nidra deoraita, how can you have rabbinic marriage come and undermine a neder that's min haTorah? Review the Mishmoel, bala meferla mimonov shach. The Baal can nullify it either way. Either Rabbanan to Rabbanan. If the neder is only taking effect to Rabbanan, then he's married to Rabbanan, and that marriage allows him to nullify it to Rabbanan. Either Raita, if her neder takes effect even min haTorah when she's a minor, Katan Ochel Nevelotu, Vein Beitim Mitzubin Alav. The exact opposite of the conclusion that we had before, which is that when a minor goes to violate something, we're not commanded to take them or stop them. That's exactly right. You don't have to stop her. If we say now that her neder takes effect deoraita, the nullification is only derabanan, so it's not real. We're not as she's a ketana, so we're not worrying about her in doing any violation. Tosfot asks your question, which is, wait, we just had the din of Rav Huna. The Rav Huna is that for her herself, if she makes a neder, she's in violation of bayachel, so she's in violation of deoraita. Tosfos says, just hold on to your seat. The Gemara is going to reject this. That's what Tosfos answers. Tosfos answers, you're right. It's a difficult answer for the Gemara because we're going to run into another problem, and the Gemara's going to have to change the answer. So, Enoch and Ami, this doesn't really solve the problem. Gemara asked a better question, which is, Vahaki Gadla. She will become of age, and then her violation will be a Doraita violation and problematic. Vahaki Gadla, Achla, Vafara Kamaito. When she comes of age, she's going to continue to violate the Neder, even though now she's a Gadola.
That's the basis.
I agree. It's the difference between being passive or complicit in the action of a katana, enabling her.
Correct.
I think that it's almost like Safi Laba Yadayim, which is even according to one who says that Beit Din is not mitzuveh to be mafisha katan from doing an Isur. There's a problem of Safi Laba Yadayim, so you can't actively cause them to be in violation. And over here, by putting this Hafarat Neder into place, then it's almost like Safi Lavi Adayim. It isn't exactly, but it's closer to that. So I agree with you. I think that the answer is problematic from a number of angles, and therefore the Gemara comes up with a different answer. Amar Rav Bar Levi, Bala Mefer La Kol Shav Shav, but who should bow? What happens here is that the husband continues to nullify it. He keeps nullifying it, and that's assuming that he is now Boel her, that he consummates the marriage. So what's going to end up happening is that eventually the marriage will be consummated Del Raita, and he will be empowered midoraita to be mayfair her nidarin. Vaha ain't bal mayfair bekodimin. We have a you're not allowed to be mayfair. When you're married to a woman, you can nullify the nidarin that she took once she was married to you already. But prior to that point of marriage, if she took nidarin, when she comes into the marriage, she comes into the marriage with the nidarin. You cannot nullify them because they're not under your watch. They're not under you being the husband. So here, what's going to happen? She took the nidarin when she was, before she was married to him. She gets married in a Torah to him after she comes of age. But that neder took effect beforehand. So how can he nullify it? How does that help you? Kedera Pinchas, Mishmei Derava. Here's the real answer. Damra Pinchas, Mishmei Derava, Kol Noderet, Al Dat Balahi Noderet. The answer is that there's a built-in Tanai. A woman who takes a neder takes it with the assumption that my husband approves with it. It's a implicit Tanai, an implicit condition in her neder is that I need my husband's stamp of approval. And if he doesn't, then that Tanai is built in, and his nullification works because of that Tanai, not because we're using the power of nullification in the Darim in the Torah. So Rabbi, Tashma, Katan Shloi Vibet Sarot, Katan that has yet to have two Sarot, Rabbi Yudomer, Ein Chumato Chuma, he cannot be Mafrish Chuma, Rabbi Yosimer, until he reaches that 1 year prior to coming of age, he can't take off Tuma. Once he reaches a year prior to the coming of age, his Tuma is Tuma. So, Savrua, Kasava Rabbi Yossi, Tuma Bizman Azed Doraita. With the assumption that Tuma today, meaning present day, after the Churban HaBayit and the Galut HaShnia, that Tuma is still a Din Doraita. So then, if you say, like Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish, that a neder of a minor within a year of becoming of age is considered, takes hold, ati gavra doraita, then these individuals who are empowered mina Torah, mitakin tivlo doraita, and they can be mafrish trumot mina Torah. If you say that, like Rav Kahana, is only a din derabanan, ati gavra derabanan, they're only empowered to do something or act mi derabanan, umetakein tivla derait, and yet, they are creating truma and taking care of tevel mina Torah. The Gemara says, no, kasarar, Rabbi Yossi, truma bizmanazet derabanan. No, Rabbi Yossi holds a truma bizmanazet derabanan. So, if you hold truma bizmanazet derabanan, then you don't have a problem because then you're empowered, midrabanan, and you can take care of a din derabanan. Gemara says, Vesava Rabbi Yossi, Chuma Bizmanazid derabanan. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that Chuma today, in modern day, is only a din derabanan?
There is, state of the record, is an interesting premise. Assume that he holds.
Yeah, but whenever the Gemara does that, you know that the way to answer the problem is to take away the hanacha, take away the premise of the question. The reason the Gemara had that premise, we'll see in a second, which is that it makes sense to say that in Rabbi Yossi. That is, how can you say that Rabbi Yossi thinks Chumam is Manazes is the Rabbanan, Vatanya b'Seidu Olam? We have a Braita being Seidu Olam itself, Seidu Olam Rabbo. Asher Yashua Votecha Verishta. Yusha Rishnav Shnia Yesh Lehem, Shlishit Ein Lehem. There's a Kedusha Rishona, there's a Kedusha Shnia, there is no Kedusha Shlishit, which means Kedusha Shnia is permanent. If Kedusha Shnia is permanent, then Truma B'Zman HaZeh is the Oraita. Rabbi Yochanan Mantana Seder Olam Rabba. Who's the author of Seder Olam Rabba? It's Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, it's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the author of Seder Olam Rabba. We see the drush in Rabbi Yossi, is that Truma B'Zman HaZeh is the Oraita. So Gemara's answer is Rabbi Yossi Tani Lava Lo Sovrila. He was just bringing the limudim of the brayto that he had. He doesn't necessarily subscribe to it. So now you already understand the difficulty in this issue, because it's clear that from the Seder Olam Rabba that Rabbi Yossi really thinks it's Doraita, and that's why the Gemara began with the premise that we're talking about Truma B'Zman HaZeh Doraita, because that makes a lot of sense in Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Since he says in Seder Olam Rabba, as the author of Seder Olam Rabba, which darshins that Truma B'Zman HaZeh is Doraita. So the Gemara says, no, in the end, we'll say that it's the Rabbanan to solve the problem, and he doesn't subscribe to what he wrote in Seder Olam Rabba. He brought down the Braita, but he doesn't subscribe to it. Right, I'm going to stop here because the remainder goes all the way to the Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to continue to discuss this. It happens to be a fundamental topic here, which is the issue of Bi'at Kulchem, whether the Din D'Oraita of Trumat Masrot has to do with the presence of Bnei Yisrael, and also about Kedusha Rishon or Kedusha Shnia, whether they are permanent or not, which we know, and we've discussed on many occasions, is a Machloket Rishonim, as to what the status of Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvot of Tliyot Baretz is today, whether they're only Din D'Rabbanan, whether they're Din D'Oraita, even within a Din D'Oraita, even if you believe that certain aspects of Kedusha, Shnia, or D'Oraita, it might be that you're still only on Truma D'Rabbanan because of the issue of what's called Bi'at Kulchem, that you need the rove or the majority or the entirety of Bnei Yisrael to be here in order to have Truma take effect D'Oraita, even if you believe Kedusha Shnia is permanent. Okay, we're going to step over here.